This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Healthcare Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are visiting with Diane Walker, Vice President for Quality Compliance and Outcomes at Griswold Home Care, a national non-medical home care referral company. Diane, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Oh, Eric, thanks so much for having me. This is going to be a great discussion.
I think so as well. So, first of all, caring for someone with dementia is perhaps one of the most challenging roles a spouse or family member can assume. Even my parents were in that situation years ago. What makes this role so challenging?
Eric, I think probably to start off with, it's just the fact that it's very painful to watch a loved one lose their ability to be independent. And I think when the reality of the disease sets in, it triggers a grieving process, actually, for both individuals. This can be a time, really, of tremendous closeness, depending on whether the parties can talk openly about their feelings and fears. But the disease itself requires that the caregiver acquire new skills. They need to learn a lot about the disease and ways to care for the individual. Caregivers need to find information online and from advocacy organizations about how to care for their loved one. So it's like taking on a new full-time job. It really forces a dramatic change for the caregiver's lifestyle and expectations for the future. It, in essence, turns their world upside down. Caregivers are often involved with their own nuclear family, and so sometimes the diagnosis is seen as a really unwanted or untimely burden. The other thing about the disease, although Alzheimer's is considered to be a progressive neurological disorder, there's a great deal of uncertainty that happens around the course of the disease. Individuals lose their ability to think and respond and carry out activities, but the pace at which that occurs and the way in which it occurs is very different for each person, and so there's a great deal of uncertainty. Because dementia clients have difficulty processing information, they oftentimes ask the same question over and over. And this can be very, very tiring for a caregiver who doesn't really have as much exposure to other sources of stimulation. Other behaviors like wandering, they can also really be very challenging.
Caregiving can be damaging to the caregiver's own personal health. What causes caregivers to develop poor health or chronic illness?
Well, as I just described, it's a full-time job. And unfortunately, caregivers do not take time to attend to their own physical needs. Given the fact that they are concerned about leaving their loved one, it can be very difficult to make arrangements for tests, appointments. Sometimes they feel it's just easier to ignore physical symptoms. The other issue is that emotions like anger, fear, and stress can be very damaging to the body and lower the caregiver's immune system, making them much more vulnerable to influenza, pneumonia, and other chronic diseases. Caring for a loved one tends to be very isolating. Caregivers begin to spend more and more time with their loved one, and so they don't see friends and family as often. They don't go out for social events. And that isolation can lead to feelings of depression and sometimes anger, sometimes guilt. And these are all emotions that lead to stress and damage the body.
What are 5 to 6 important things caregivers can do to maintain their health?
Eric, from the very beginning, one of the most important things to keep in mind is that that caregiver has to make a commitment to care for themselves. They have to make arrangements to get out once or twice a week to see friends and to attend to their own personal health matters. They also need to know that the person who relieves them will be the same person as much as possible, because that will be less stressful for their loved one. And so finding someone willing to come in can be challenging, but there are ways to do that. The important thing, though, is that they really do need to get out and make an effort to bring positive and energizing things into their life. One of the things caregivers have told me that's really helpful is they have to learn to ask people for help. And it's important to be able to actually create a list, for example, where you've identified 15 to 20 things that someone could do to make your life more manageable. And you need to get over either asking for help, or if someone says, gee, what can I do for you, saying, here's a list of 15 or 20 things, pick one or two that would be easy for you to accomplish. And believe it or not, people are really willing to take those tasks on and be helpful. So the caregiver has to be prepared. Another thing that's really critical is exercise. I know that exercise is in the news all the time, but the reality is that it really does reduce stress. It helps to build endurance, and it improves a person's outlook. And so taking the time each day to incorporate some form of exercise is really critical. Another thing is to learn one or two relaxation techniques. Caregiving can be very stressful at times, and it's important that the caregiver is able to take a time out, much like we do with 2-year-old children. You need to go sit on the steps for a few minutes to kind of get control of yourself again. Well, caregivers need to learn to take a little time out and say, I need to do some relaxation, and be able to do that very spontaneously. Modifications in terms of sleep patterns are a real problem for caregivers. They're worried about their loved one getting up at night, and so finding ways in order to be able to ensure they get an adequate amount of sleep. I know we have a number of clients who have caregivers come in overnight to spend time with their loved ones so that they can sleep and be emotionally present the next day. And as I've said, it's really important to maintain a social network with friends and relatives.
Today we are speaking with Diane Walker, Vice President for Quality Compliance and Outcomes at Griswold Home Care, a national non-medical home care referral company here on eHealth Radio's Healthcare Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Diane, what role do support groups have in helping caregivers to live healthier lives?
Eric, in our work with family caregivers, one of the difficulties, of course, is getting to the support group. But once caregivers become actively involved with the support group, they really find the experience tremendously supportive. They're able to share difficult situations and get suggestions from others who found a way to deal with difficult behaviors. It may sound strange, but actually there's a great deal of laughter that goes on in these groups. It's not just recounting the sadness over seeing the changes in their loved ones. People really do laugh a lot. So a lot of the experiences that they have with their caregivers are very enjoyable, and they get to share those with one another. It's sort of like facing the future with folks that are walking the walk with you. One of the things organizations that serve as an advocate for family caregivers, such as the Alzheimer's Association or the Alzheimer's Foundation, have found out that men are really much more comfortable attending an all-men's group. And those advocacy organizations are often good sources of information on where support groups are located. Both organizations run support groups in addition to providing other services for caregivers, and in addition to finding resources online, caregivers can contact them and they can connect them with ongoing support groups right in their community. The other thing is that the support groups really provide caregivers with a feeling that they're not alone in this walk, and they're not alone in dealing with difficult problems. They're not alone in the feelings that they experience, and so the support groups can add a significant dimension of support to their lives.
If a caregiver will allow it, how can respite care for their loved ones be supportive?
Well, respite care is really part of taking care of self. Caregivers really need to feel when they are going to be going out either for personal errands or shopping or socializing with friends, going to church, that someone's there to be able to take care of their loved one. And they need to feel safe in that they want to know that that person is really able to handle some of the more challenging behaviors. Respite care really means being able to get away for a day or a weekend. There are actually organizations that offer wonderful retreats for family caregivers where the caregiver can actually leave for a weekend and have someone come in and stay with their loved one. The being able to get away in terms of respite actually helps people maintain balance in their lives, and it promotes a healthier lifestyle. Of course, the difficulty is that family members may not know how to care for someone to take over for you. And so many caregivers will find a local source of professional caregivers who can come in and stay with their loved one while they're out taking care of themselves. These folks have the training and experience to be able to provide high-quality services, and the caregiver can feel very comfortable taking the personal time that they need.
It's been good to find out more on this topic. If you would, tell our listeners where they can get more information about Griswold Home Care and to be in potential contact with you there.
Well, our contact information, we have a website at www.griswoldhomecare.com. And there are a number of resources that are directly available on the website. And you can also call in and talk with a director in a local office about what services might be available, and you can find those offices directly on the website.
Very good. And finally, what concluding advice would you like to leave with our listeners on the topic that we have been covering today?
Well, I think if I could share one thought, it would really be that this is a long journey. And knowing what lies ahead, learning new skills, and fulfilling a promise can be tremendously rewarding, even with the challenges that lie ahead. Promising to be there in sickness never meant doing it all by yourself at the expense of your health and your well-being. I really want to encourage family caregivers to seek help from other family members, from professionals and friends, right from the very beginning, so that you can continue on this long walk together. Hillary Clinton once said that it takes a village to raise a child, and I think that statement applies just as well to caring for someone with dementia. As we have more people living into their late 70s and 80s, the incidence of dementia is just going to rise, and we're going to need to create new ways to provide support for caregivers so they can have a fulfilling life while caring for their loved one. I really hope the tips that we've talked about today and the concepts will be helpful for family caregivers who are listening in.
Most certainly. We've been speaking with Diane Walker, Vice President for Quality, Compliance, and Outcomes at Griswold Home Care, a national non-medical home care referral company. And the website of reference, once again, is griswoldhomecare.com. Diane, thanks so much for joining us today and sharing very helpful information with us here on eHealth Radio.
Great. It was a pleasure.
It certainly was. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Healthcare Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.